for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, November the 29th, 1998. Final service of the Thanksgiving Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Robert Cameron of Virginia Beach, Virginia, one of the Scotland Camerons, is the speaker of the morning.
Hallelujah.
I love you, I love you, you know, Lord Jesus, I love you, words can't explain what my heart contains. This love I have for you, Lord. Let's all stand and sing it. Tell him you love him. I love you. I love you. You know, Lord Jesus, I love you. Words can't explain what my heart contains. This love I have for you, Lord. I love you. Tell him you love him. Oh, I love you. You know, Lord Jesus, I love you. Words can't explain what my heart contains. This love I have for you, Lord, I love you. Oh, I love you. You know, Lord Jesus, I love you. Words can't explain what my heart contains. This love I have for you, Lord. Sing it one more time. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. You know, Lord Jesus, I love you. What my heart contains, this love I have for you, Lord. It's a privilege to worship you, Jesus. It's a thrill to give you our praise. It's an honor to stand in your presence and to glorify your precious name, and out of a heart full of thankfulness, my spirit rejoices and sings. It's a privilege to worship you, Jesus. It's a thrill, it's an honor, my King. It's a privilege, oh, it's a privilege to worship you, Jesus. It's a thrill, it's a thrill to know Him. Ah, hallelujah. It's an honor, it's an honor to stand in your presence and to glorify your precious name. And out of a heart full of thankfulness, my spirit rejoices and sings. It's a privilege to worship you, Jesus. It's a thrill, it's an honor, my King. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We sing forth your praises. We sing, think of all you've done, and we thank you. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can.
Praise the Lord. Oh, God is good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And I just want to say, I've really enjoyed myself being here at this camp. I enjoy the camp, you know. I don't get down but once a year, but I really look forward to it. I look forward to the fellowship. And I think that, I'll just say this, I think the cooks do a tremendous job, don't they? Let's give Jesus a big hand for them. Hallelujah. And I want you to pray with something else, too. Glenn's not here, but let me tell you. They need a new PA system in here. They really need a new PA system with monitors, because it's very hard for when you're singing to hear yourself. And these speakers on the roof are okay for speaking, but they're very poor for music. So let's pray that God will provide the money or the system for this camp meeting. Amen? It's not a lot of money. You've got a couple of $1,000s, and God can do that. No trouble at all. And just, we need it. They need it over to have the monitor so you can hear when you're singing and this and that and the other. So let's believe God for that. Glenn never told me to ask for that. He doesn't even know I'm asking for that. I just felt that in my spirit. I should lay it out before you, because God's the supplier, isn't he? Acts 27, I picked this prayer up the other day and I thought I'd read it to you. Dear Lord, so far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'll probably need a whole lot more help. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's all right to laugh, isn't it? Praise God. The joy of the Lord. You know, I really get angry when I see people who don't like laughter. I really get angry. Because I realize the devil doesn't want you to laugh. The devil wants to make you sad and depressed and morose and despair, you know, and hopeless. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit, wants you to smile. He wants you to laugh. He wants your spirit to sing. I think I've told you this before. I always sing. I've done this other night. I always sing. I whistle all the time. I sing because I've got a happy spirit. And God wants you and I to all have a happy spirit. no matter what the circumstances, because no matter what the circumstances are, if you look at the circumstance, it looks terrible. If you look a bit higher, you see God, and he's the God of the circumstance. So listen, don't look at the problem. Look a little higher. Never mind the wind and waves. Never mind the fire. Jesus can do miracles. If he wants to, he can turn the stones to bread. So don't look at the problem. Look to God instead. Hallelujah. So when you realize that, then you realize that God is in control. God is in control, and there's nothing he cannot do, and there's no one he cannot provide for. Amen? You and I have to activate faith in our lives to receive anything from God. There's conditions to every promise. You see, there's 33,000 promises in the book, and every promise could be activated or manipulated or used 1,000 different ways. But I'll tell you, the Bible says the promises of God are yes and amen to them that believe. So we're going to talk a little bit this morning on Paul's unshakable faith. Verse 21, let's start from here. Acts 27:21. After the men had gone a long time without food, there's a bummer right there for you. I don't like that. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice and not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost." What a statement of faith, eh? "Keep up your courage. Not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night," verse 23, "last night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, man. Cheer up, guys. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" Verse 42. "The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Saul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. Verse 44. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached the land in safety." Can I hear an amen? Everyone reached the land in safety. And I want to tell you this morning, I want to talk a little bit about faith. Because it's Paul's faith in God that saw them through this predicament. Amen? The word faith, the Greek word for faith is pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S. It means to totally rely upon. To totally rely upon. If we're going to activate faith in our lives, we have first of all got to totally rely upon God. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is. You see, that's why a lot of these clever people, a lot of these intellectual people, they'll run to Edgar Cayce and they'll run to these different spiritless things because they cater for the intelligence. They cater for the intellect. But you don't need intellect to come to Jesus because you've got to come in faith. But these intellectuals, they find it hard to move in the realm of faith because all their support system is in their head. In the realm of academia and intelligentsia. But they find it hard to have any faith. But in order to receive anything from God, we have got to activate faith in our lives. My mother used to say to me, "There's only two things you need to remember, Robert, in your life to keep you healthy and keep you strong in the Lord. Trust and obey. Trust and obey." And isn't that true, folks, this morning? All you and I need to be able to do is trust Him and obey Him. Have faith in God. Remember the first miracle Jesus did in John chapter 2, turning the water into wine? He'll be back to the wine again. You can't get away from this wine business. But it's good for you. Amen? A little wine for the stomach's sake, old wine for the stomach's sake, a little new wine for the spirit's sake. In fact, a whole lot of new wine for the spirit's sake, as far as I'm concerned. The more the merrier. But Mary told the servants, "Now listen, whatever he says unto you, do it. Whatever he says unto you, do it." They run out of wine. There's a picture of the church, by the way, isn't it? A marriage feast. Plenty of food, plenty of entertainment, but they run out of wine. Church in America, we're well fed. We're well entertained. My goodness. Church has got some of the finest artists in the States, in the world. But we've run out of wine. And I believe we're living in days when the Holy Spirit is pouring out new wine upon us to get us back to where He wants us to be. Can I hear an amen? But Mary says to the servants, "Whatever He says, and you do it." So Jesus says, "Fill the pots with water." Can you imagine the servants thinking, "My goodness, we'll be the talk of the town. I mean, our names will be like mud. You know, we'll be laughed about. We'll be talked about for years. They still are. 2,000 years down the road, we're still talking about them." But it wasn't because they were stupid. It wasn't because they were dumb. We're talking about them because they had faith. And they started pouring water. As they poured the water, he changed the water. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, whatever he says unto you, do it. That's the faith we need to receive anything from God. I think it's in Hebrews 4, it says, the word of God was preached unto them also, but profited them nothing, not being mixed with faith in them that held it. That's why you have people come to the camp meeting, and they won't receive anything, because they're not open to receive. They don't have any faith to receive. They'll come and take a look, and they'll observe, and they'll probably make an opinion on it, but they won't receive anything. Because in order to receive, you've got to activate faith. Faith has got to be operational. Amen?
Amen?
You've got to yield in order to feel. Faith operates in the realm of the invisible, doesn't it? It's not what you see. Faith operates in the realm of the invisible. In Hebrews 11 and 27 says, by faith Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible. There's a realm. There's a realm we come to, folks. It's not what your eyes can see. It's what the natural eyes cannot see, but the spiritual eyes can see. You can break through that veil and see the one who is invisible to keep us going, to keep us plugged in. Can I hear an amen? In the world economy, we say believing is seeing. Seeing is believing. You know, they want, Thomas is a type of the world. You know, unless I see the nail prints, unless I see the hole in his side, that's the world's thinking. But that thinking gets you nowhere. But in God's economy, believing is seeing. In the world's economy, seeing is believing. But in God's point of view, believing is seeing. Hallelujah. Believing is seeing.
Hallelujah.
Faith is believing without precedent. Faith is believing without precedent. Some people say to me, well, don't you think you're going out on a limb, Brother Cameron? Sometimes? Yeah. But remember, when the limb's God, it's all right. And how many know you need to get out on a limb sometimes because the fruit's at the end of the limb? How many realize the fruit is not at the edge where the tree stump is? The fruit is on the edge of the limb. And if you want to get the blessing and the fruit, sometimes you have to go out on that limb and trust God to provide everything you need. Can I hear an amen? Faith is believing without precedent. My family, the Camerons, came to America in 1966 with one name and address. In 1965, my family had gone down to London to the Full Gospel Businessman's Airlift. That's where they first met Glenn, as a matter of fact. And God spoke to my father, his oldest brother, and God spoke to him and said, you'll be in America this time next year. And they were in business together. Four brothers had a big 20 or so construction company and a fishing supply store. And the brothers laughed at him and said, how could we be in America? We couldn't even close the business down in a year. Well, a year to that day, the 17th of March, 1966, they landed in America, St. Patrick's Day. That's a laugh, you know, because we don't celebrate St. Patrick's in Scotland. We celebrate St. Andrew. We don't celebrate St. Andrew either. We don't. But anyway, you know, they landed the 17th of March with one name and address because God has spoken to them. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when God speaks to you and you begin to move in faith, somehow or other, God will make a way for you.
Amen.
One name and address. He was gone in Israel for 3 weeks. So they had to sit in a hotel for 3 weeks in New York City, spend a lot of money, and wait till this brother came back. And you know, they had this fellow, this brother arranged one meeting for them, and the rest is history. In this one little Full Gospel Businessman's meeting, a lady was wonderfully healed of paralysis. And, of course, news spreads. And then we never looked back from that day on, and God wonderfully provided for us 31 years down the line. We're still in love with Jesus, still traveling all over the place. Because faith was activated. Faith is believing without precedent. Faith is not surprised at miracles. I read this in a church bulletin one time. Faith is not surprised at miracles. It expects them. Faith is not surprised at miracles. It expects them. The trouble with us is we expect too little and we quit too soon. We settle for the good, and the good is the enemy of the best. God wants us to be always going to cutting edge. Can I hear an amen? Like I told the other night, I don't want to be in the vanguard. In the rear guard, I want to be in the vanguard. I want to be right on the cutting edge for what the Holy Spirit is doing today and what the Lord is doing in the world. I don't want to be hidden somewhere in a corner. I want to be. Well, I'll be whatever God wants me to be. But my intention is I want to be right there on the cutting edge where God is moving. That's faith. And if it takes faith, and it will take faith, that's the faith I'm going to operate in. Faith is not surprised at miracles. It expects them. I had a story about this young Australian preacher who started off his ministry. He's just about 3 months into his ministry, and he's praying for people. And, you know, he felt that God had given him a healing ministry, so he's praying for people. And this one night, there were about 10 people lined up in his church, and he starts praying for people. But the fourth lady he prays for, she shouts out, "I'm healed! I'm healed!" He says, "You're kidding." But faith is not surprised at miracles. It expects them. Faith is preemptive. Faith is ahead of the game. How many of you know that? Hebrews 11 and 7. Listen to what it says. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. That's preemptive. When, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, built an ark for the saving of his family. Listen, Betty, write that scripture down. He built an ark for the saving of his family. Before the situation arose, before it happened, before he would, but it had been warned, faith is ahead of the game. I'm telling you, folks, when you'll be amazed sometimes when you're living in the realm of faith, how God puts you ahead of the game many, many times. Faith sings when no one else sings. Remember the story in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they're in the Philippian jail. They get thrown in the jail, they get whipped within an inch of their lives. They're sitting in a dark, filthy, musty, rat-infested dungeon. And their feet are fast in stocks. Their backs are lacerated. They're in agony. They're in this filthy, damp dungeon, in the innermost dungeon. So it wasn't, I mean, the outer dungeon couldn't have been that great. But this was the innermost dungeon. And they're sitting in stocks. The stocks was a thin board, like a 2x10 board that sat on with the legs on another piece of board. Very, very uncomfortable position, especially when you're in agony. And the Bible says at the hour of midnight, at the hour of midnight, it's like the twilight zone, midnight. It's neither morning or night. It's right there in the middle, midnight. At the hour of midnight, when most of us are in our beds logging in the Z's. And, you know, if we did have to keep the service open till midnight, we'd all complain, wouldn't we? What that time of night. This meeting never finished. But here they were in the dungeon, lacerated, their backs lacerated, probably didn't know what was going to happen to them, lying there, and Silas turns to Paul and says, "That's another fine mess you got me into." He could have said that. He could have said to Saul, "Man, since I saw that ugly Jewish face, all I've had is beatings and whippings. You told me we're going on a mission trip, and all I've had is whippings and beatings and jails and all and stocks. All, that's all I've seen is misery, gloom, despair, and agony on me." He didn't say that, did he?
It's
our favorite we'll do. Here, why don't we sing some? We can't sleep. I don't know about you, Paul, but I can't get to sleep. My back's too sore. This seat's a kid uncomfortable. This two-inch pedestal we're sitting on, a little bit uncomfortable. Why don't we sing some? And the Bible says they began to pray and they began to sing. Prayer and praise, when the two are fused together, is a powerful source. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And in faith, they didn't feel like praying. They didn't feel like singing. The circumstances didn't pertain to singing or anything else. But in faith, the Bible says, they began to sing and they began to pray. And I believe as those two weary, whipped men began to sing and praise the Lord, God began to hear them. And I believe he began to tap his foot to the rhythm of the beat. And I think he got so excited. This is my own appendage. You know. I think he got so excited, he stomped his foot one time. And he shook the whole footstool. Because the earth is his footstool. He got so excited, he shook the footstool and ruined the dungeon. What's the result of these two weary whipped men acting in faith? What's the result? The jailer and all his family get saved. Household salvation. Sing, faith sings when there's no reason to sing. This black lady was a nanny down in Florida that lived with this very wealthy family, and she always sang. Always sang. And so one day the lady said to her, she said, "How come you're always singing, Maggie?" She said, "Well," she said, "God's been good to me, and I've got everything I want. I have a good job, and he provides, and I love you people." But the woman said, "But supposing my husband lost his job? And supposing we couldn't keep you any longer, and supposing you lost your job, what would happen there?" She said, "But ma'am, that's your problem. You have too many supposings. You have too many supposings." The black lady was singing in faith. Can I hear an amen? And sometimes you and I are faced with too many supposings. Well, supposing this happens, and supposing that happens, supposing Y2K comes, suppose it doesn't come, who cares? God's in control. He's got the world in the palm of his hands. Faith sings when there's no one else singing. Faith hears when no one else hears. If you're taking down points, this is a good point for you, by the way. I know it's a point because it's underlined in my notes. Faith hears when no one else hears. 1 Kings 18, it says, you know the story about Elijah? He goes back to Ahab and he says, "I'm going to meet you in Mount Carmel and we're going to see whose God is who's God in this business." So they go to Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal, And they said, now we're going to see, but how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to waver between two opinions? If Baal is God, let him be God. If God is God, let God be God. Then we're going to prove it. Build an ark, build an altar, and we're going to sacrifice. So first of all, the prophets of Baal built that altar, built the sacrifice, put the sacrifice on it, the wood, the stone, and they cried from morning till night, gashing themselves, tearing themselves, and nearly rupturing themselves in all the carry-on they were doing. And nothing happened. Zilch. Finally, it comes Elijah's time. He says, right, build the altar, put the wood on, put the sacrifice on, build a trough. Put water in the trough. In fact, put water over the sacrifice. Douse it. And they filled the sacrifice of water. They doused it. They filled the troughs and all the moats round about the altar. And Elijah began to pray. And surprise, surprise, the fire fell. And licked up the sacrifice. Licked up the wood. Burned up the stones. Burned up the water. And God proved himself who was God. So he says to Ahab, get down, he says, because you better get going short because there's a sound of abundance of rain. So everybody disappears. He goes up to the top of the mountain and begins to pray. He says to his servant, he says, look, he said, go down to the east. Look over in the east and see if you can see anything because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Nobody else heard it. His servant didn't hear it. Nobody else heard it except the man of faith. Now I'm going to tell you, folks, many times you and I have an ear tuned in to a source that is far greater than the economy, far greater than the White House, far greater than NBC and Dan Rather or Peter Jennings and ABC. We are tuned in. A man or woman of faith, we're tuned in to another source of information. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Get down there and see if you see anything, because I hear a sound of abundance of rain. Six times the servant goes down and comes back. No, master, I can't see a thing. Well, he goes down again, because I definitely hear it. So he goes down the seventh time, and he comes running back. Yes, he says, I see a cloud coming out of the east, the size of a man's hand. And Elijah says, well, get prepared, because there's a mighty rain coming. And, of course, you know the story. It began to rain, just like he heard. Faith hears when no one else hears. Faith sees when no one else sees. 2 Kings chapter 6. The Arameans try to get, they're going against Israel, and they try and ambush them all the time. And several times they try to ambush them, but somehow or other, the children of Israel, the Israelites find out that Elijah, God tells Elijah where they are, or Elisha. And every time they tried an ambush, the Holy Spirit would tell Elisha, and he would tell the Israelites, and it would go down a different way. So the Aramean king got really angry. He said, listen, there's somebody leaking news here. There's somebody leaking our plans here. And somebody said, no, it's not us, king. It's that man, it's the prophet down in Dothan. He's hearing, and he's telling them where we're going. And every time they know about it, they go a different way. Go down and get him. Go down and get him. We're going to stop this nonsense right away. And you know the story. They come down to Dothan. And when they get up in the morning, the servant looks out, and he sees nothing but the army of the Arameans all round about their house of staying. And fear gripped him. He was petrified. He says to Elisha, he said, look, he says, do you see the armies of the Arameans? He said, we'll never get out of here alive. And Elisha began to pray, an interesting prayer. He said, Lord, open his eyes. Open the servant's eyes to see what I can see. Open his eyes and let him see what really is going on. What you see is not all that it seems. Open his eyes, Lord, and see, and let him see what's really going on. And the Bible says, the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw the armies of the Lord encompassed about the armies of the Arameans. Hallelujah. And they fought and they delivered them. The Bible says the Arameans left, defeated, never to return again. Because faith sees when no one else when no one else sees. Hallelujah. Now, there's four reasons, very quickly, there's four reasons for Paul's faith. And I'm going to give them to you. Verse 23, number 1. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am. The first thing is he knew God. He knew God, whose I am. When Paul was in that boat and the angel of the Lord appeared, he wasn't afraid because he knew God. He knew the angels of the Lord, and he didn't think it was a spirit, an evil spirit. He knew it was the angel of the Lord, whose I am. He belonged to God. You know, he knew God, rather. He knew God. And I'll tell you, folks, when you and I get to know God, I'm not talking about getting to just reading about him, and I'm talking about that word know as an intimate relationship. When you know God in that relationship, when you love him and he loves you and you commune with him and you walk with him and it inhabits your vessel, then when he begins to speak to you, I mean, how many know the voice of God here this morning? I mean, how many know when God talks to you, it's not the devil? How many can decipher the voice of God than your flesh? I mean, if you can't, we're in trouble. But when you walk with him and live with him and have that relationship with him, you know his voice. You understand his voice. You recognize his voice. He knew God. 2 Timothy 1 and 12 says, I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he will provide for me. That he will deliver me. That he will keep me. The second thing, he belonged to God. Number two, he belonged to God. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am, the angel of God whose I am, he belonged to God. David knew his God, didn't he? He wrote that wonderful psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. What a sense of belonging. I can see David sitting in the gates. You know, David, when he wrote the Psalm 23, he was an older gentleman. People think he was a young shepherd lad when he wrote Psalm 23, but actually he was an older man, gone through life, walked through life, gone through experiences, gone through trials, but through it all, he's sitting in the gates of the city, talking with the elders of the city. And I can imagine them talking business as usual. And then, you know, just that and this and the other, and, you know, have to take this up and take this offering up and do that, and have the ushers do this and sell books, sell tapes. And all of a sudden I can see, now this is my little bit of my poetic license here. And all of a sudden I can hear David saying, hey guys, just a minute, I've seen something. What is it? The Lord is my shepherd. He may be your shepherd this morning, but I'm going to tell you, he's my shepherd. What a sense of belonging. He belonged to God. He belonged to God. Paul belonged to God. Whose I am. Can I hear an amen? Isaiah 43 says, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when you rise and you know God and you belong to God, no matter what curve the enemy throws at you, no matter what curve the devil throws at you, you realize that you are his. You're the apple of his eye. You're the apple of his eye. The third thing, he served God. God whose I am and whom I serve. Whom I serve. I'm going to tell you something. It's not good enough just to know God. It's not good enough to belong to God, but God wants us to serve him. Yeah. The Greek word for servant is martus. Disciple, actually. The Greek word for disciple is martus. It means servant. And God wants us to be servants. I have a problem with some of these big-time preachers that come in and demand this and demand that, demand the other. I mean, you'd be amazed sometimes what they demand. I mean, I've been in churches when they've demanded a certain type of water, certain type of drink, they want a certain type of meal, they want a certain type of hotel, they want a certain type of rental car. I thought we were servants. I thought we were servants. I'm going to tell you, that's not a servant spirit. That's not a servant spirit. But we have to learn to become servants.
Yes.
Look at Dr. Bill Noll. He's a servant. I'm sure it's quite a sacrifice for him to come down here and just minister the way he does, the long hours he does, and get up early in the morning, drives all night, gets up all day. I mean, it's a sacrifice because the mind's a servant. The mind's a servant. I'm a servant. I want to be a servant. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You know why I want to be a servant? Because Jesus was a servant. Remember Philippians 2? Philippians 2, it says, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, became obedient and became a servant. If you read it in NIV, he says he became a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, if you want an example, that's your example of servanthood right there. If Jesus did it, you can do it. He didn't even think about being equal with God. He was equal. It wasn't something we grasped at, the Bible says. But he humbled himself and he became obedient. He became a servant. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when we realize and we become servants, let me tell you something. God sits up and he sits down. When you have a servant's heart, he'll exalt you when you need to be exalted. He'll put you down when you need to be put down. But I'll tell you, it's all for our good. Can I hear an amen? He served God. He served God. Paul said to friends in Acts chapter 20, I am compelled to go to Jerusalem. They said, you can't go to Jerusalem. You're going to get killed. But he said, I'm compelled to go to Jerusalem. He had a servant's heart. He knew his face as a flint. He had to go to Jerusalem no matter what faced him. Because he was a servant. He was a servant. Finally, number four, he believed God. Verse 25. So keep up your courage, guys. Cheer up, guys. Because you can imagine they're all despondent. They all thought they were going to die. Cheer up, fellas. For I have faith in God. He knew God. He belonged to God. He served God. He believed God. I'll tell you this morning, I believe God. I believe God. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. For I believe God. We need to learn to believe God. If he said it, that settles it. And when God gives you a promise, folks, you need to believe that promise. Now, many times when God gives us a promise and we say amen to that promise, from the time you say amen to there it is, it could be a very trying time. It could be a very difficult time. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if God said it, that settles it. His word is forever settled in heaven. But he doesn't promise lightly. When he promises, he performs. When he promises, he produces. He believed God. Fear not, guys, because I believe it'll happen just as he said. He believed God. Remember the story in Daniel chapter 3 when the three Hebrew children were facing the fiery furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said to the king, look, we're not going to bow down to that image because the Lord is going to save us from it. But even if he doesn't, now this is where real faith comes in. See, we're not going to bow down to that image because we believe we know the Lord will save us. Even if he doesn't save us from the fiery furnace, we're still not going to bow down. Now, there's real faith. There's real faith. Even though he doesn't protect us from the fiery furnace, we're still not going to bow down to that image. That's real faith, folks. Because sometimes when you activate faith, it's going to hurt. Sometimes when you activate, and when you really stand in faith, you stand in the Word of God, it's going to be painful for you. You're going to be offended. You're going to be offended at times from people you love. Because you're standing on the Word of God. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. But they weren't burned, were they? They went in all bound. But when they came out, they were released. Because faith releases. They bound them up, the Bible says. They bound them up tightly. And they threw them in. When they came out, they had no bondages on them. When they looked in, they were walking about the fiery furnace with a fourth man. What a revival service. What a Pentecostal service. Here they were with Jesus, the fire falling. I mean, the Pentecostals would have loved it. And when they came out, the bondages were gone. And after they came out, that's when their testimony. Listen, you're talking about testimonies this morning. When they came out and they gave their testimony that they didn't even have a smell of burning on them, amen. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, their God is going to be my God.
Yes.
And then he turned around and said something else. He said, listen, at the your nation, their God is going to be your God. And the whole nation turned to God because of their faith. Their faith, their faith. Listen, folks, we need unshakable faith in our lives to see us through. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
The Bible says in verse 44, the rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached the land in safety. Look at Paul's dilemma. Three things. Verse 26, a shipwreck. Verse 30, a mutiny. Read it when you go home. I'm only being quick here. Verse 42, death. He faced a shipwreck. He faced a mutiny. He faced death. But through it all, his faith helped him to stand. In World War II, in a German prisoner of war camp, there were several huts. And the Germans tried to break the will of these soldiers. And there was one hut that was against the mountainside. And this one hut in particular, the Germans couldn't break their will. For some reason, they couldn't break the guys in this hut, they couldn't break their will. And years after the war was done, and they were showing, it was like a museum, and they were showing the different places. One of the places that the guy would take him was into this hut. And he would tell the story of how the men wouldn't break in this hut. No matter what the Germans did, they wouldn't break. And he said, I'm going to show you why they wouldn't break. And at the back of the hut, they pulled away a curtain. There was a wall at one end, but they pulled away a curtain. And in behind the curtain, there was a little conclave that the men had dug out. There's a little cave the men had dug out, and uncarved in the wall of the cave was the face of Jesus. And whenever one of the men got weak, whenever one of the men started to stumble, they would go in there and shut the door behind them, and they would just look at the face of Jesus, and they would get sort of strength and their faith back up again. Hallelujah. And they never broke. Now I'm going to tell you, folks, we need to have that faith in God. Just one glimpse of his dear face.
Yes.
We need the faith. When you feel weak and you're struggling, get through to God, get in a closet, get shut in with God in a secret place, and get your faith back. Amen. Get your faith renewed. Get your faith rejuvenated. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Thomas Holcroft, great missionary, said, because we enjoy the vision of the invisible, we ought to attempt the impossible. I'll read that one back to you again. Because we enjoy the vision of the invisible, we ought to attempt the impossible. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Let's all stand. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Unshakable faith. Faith sees when no one else sees. Faith hears when no one else hears. Faith sings when no one else sings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you going to close the service? Okay. Praise the Lord. Listen, let's all stand. These seats are comfortable. Oh, sometimes your butts just need a rest, don't they? Just need to stand up and get the circulation flowing a little bit. Hallelujah. How many this morning you're going to say, Brother Robert, I want some of that faith you're talking about.
Amen.
I want my faith renewed. I want to know God more. I want to belong to God more. I want to believe God more. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we impart faith to your servants, faith to your people this morning. Lord, when we leave this place today, we're going to be full of faith, full of promise, full of victory, full of vision, full of understanding of the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, bless this place. Bless our lunch this morning, Lord. Bless our time together and bless our going in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.